Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Gingee Country as BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now look, we're going to catch over yarn now with a very important brother. That's Chris Tanti. He's the CEO of Leukemia Foundation. And look, to speak about Leukemia Foundation's commitment to addressing the disparities in treatment, care and support for First Nations people diagnosed with blood cancer. I had a yarn earlier with Matthew Doyle, First Nation man, and he's become ambassador. And very sad after losing his two twin sons, Sean and Jeremy, to blood cancer. So a lot of work needs to be done. And with that, let's have a yarn with Chris Tanti on the line. Chris, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good, thanks. And you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, you're based down there at freezing cold Melbourne, but you're getting warm.
Yes, I am. Very cold. Although the sun's shining today.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. So, you're the CEO of Leukemia Foundation. How long have you been in that role, Chris?
It's coming up to about 3 years now.
3 years, all right. Look, a very important position for a very important foundation, Leukemia Foundation, a commitment to addressing the disparities in treatment, care and support for First Nation people diagnosed with blood cancer. So tell us about this space, please, Chris.
So we actually have a clinician based out in Cairns. One of the things that we know about blood cancer is that for First Nations people, they don't necessarily get checked out. So there's a survival disparity. There are challenges for them to get to their GPs. We know that, you know, in terms of presenting to hospitals, that can be a bit of a challenge as well, because there's a safety pit for people that we need to attend to. And so we have been doing quite a lot of work as an organisation to try and understand the differences with First Nations people and how we can better assist them. And so we've spent some time talking to people from a variety of different backgrounds, First Nations backgrounds, and so as a result of that, we've developed information that we think is a bit more accessible for people, just so people can get a better sense of what blood cancers are, and then what are the signs and symptoms of those, because, you know, the important thing once you've developed the signs and symptoms is to get them checked and get help.
Yes. Do you have conversations with their First Nation health organisations?
On a variety of different levels. So we entered into the Reconciliation Action Plan, which is an important first step for the organisation.
Yes.
We have, and I've done quite a lot of this work in the past, working in mental health, but in blood cancer, the sort of organisations were largely new to me. So we've got people working directly with them. We've got a member of our board who is also Indigenous and is helping us network into communities, because there's nothing like those face-to-face conversations. I think they're really, really important to have in communities, and so we're embarking on that now.
Fantastic. So let's talk about the disease, leukemia. So hereditary, is it not?
No, not necessarily. It can affect anyone at any age, at any time. Often people confuse, so there are three major types of blood cancer, lymphoma, leukemia and myeloma. There are about 120, 130 different subtypes of those major blood cancers. It can strike anyone at any time, so it affects children, really, really young children and older people. It disproportionately affects older people, so we see the incidence of blood cancers rising as the population gets older. The signs and symptoms can be easily confused with the flu or even COVID, and so people can get night sweats, they can get infections, lumps in, you know, various places in their body. And often people think these things are going to go away, so they don't go and get checked up. it's important, you know, I don't want to make people hysterical, but it's important that, you know, if these things continue for a little while and they're not getting any better, then it's important to go and see your GP, because it could mean that something else is going on, or it could be a viral infection, could be anything. But if it's a blood cancer, you need to get to it quickly.
So when we go for our annual checkup, then it falls under that category regarding checking up for leukemia, does it not?
Well, I mean, you could certainly talk to your GP about that. Yeah, and I think the annual checkup is a great thing. I refer to it as a grease and oil change.
Yes.
You sort of go in, get everything done. You know, I get blood pressure a whole lot, cholesterol, a whole lot of things done. Mm. And just to stay on the safe side, because as I'm getting older, the risks increase. And it's really important that we all do that.
Well, you're talking about grease and oil change, and that's the thing. We do a lot for our car services, the dates and time, and when it's going to be done, but we neglect the vehicle that carries us, our bodies.
Yeah, we do. And it's amazing. You know, I've met people who, there was one health professional, I think she was a physiotherapist, who had a really large lump in her chest, and she walked around with that for weeks before she went to the doctors because she just didn't have time, because she was too busy with kids and work and all that sort of stuff. That's pretty crazy. But a lot of us do that sort of crazy stuff. We'll walk around with a whole lot of signs and symptoms of things that could be pretty bad, and we'll avoid going to the doctors for it.
Exactly. Look, a very important conversation we're having here, and look, just it showcases and enlightens our mob to be active in this space for your annual checkup. Thank you for the yarn, and it was good having a yarn with Matthew Doyle, who's one of your ambassadors for blood cancer. Fantastic.
He's an amazing man. Matthew's an amazing man. And thank you for your time. Really, really appreciate it, Trevor.
All the best, Chris. You stay warm. We'll talk soon, my friend.
You stay cold. See you, mate.
See you, brother. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. That's Chris Tanti, our CEO of Leukemia Foundation, and just talking about that yucky disease, and we need to be addressing the disparity. Well, that's what Leukemia Foundation is doing, addressing the disparities in treatment, care and support for First Nation people diagnosed with blood cancer, and the support service available to this community from the Leukemia Foundation. So do your checkups, you mob, and like I said, we do services on our cars, on our vehicles, do services on your body. That's the most important thing. Have you seen Jan Upstrong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Bye. Hey, you mob. More affordable childcare is coming on the 10th of July. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children can get at least 36 hours of subsidised care. How deadly is that? Take advantage of the new government incentive from the 10th of July when you enrol at Child's World. Child's World Early Learning Centres has it all. Water park, free bus service, learn to swim school, all nutritious meals provided, as well as nappies. Catering for children 6 weeks to school age with four kindergartens that are government funded with qualified teachers and educators. Call Child's World now on 07 4045 4045. Limited positions are available.
Station sponsor.
You're not sure who to turn to for legal advice? Want someone who knows what you and your mob need? Need to find someone you can trust? Call Marawa Law. They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector. They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots, lots more. Choose a law firm that understands you, Marawa Law. Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 130 88.
Station sponsor.
Little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Get a little rough on you and you're feeling kind of blue, and your face don't smile and you look out of style with everything in view, and your clothes no longer fit you and your shoes no longer shine. Just remember there's always somebody a little further down. Mother Teresa spent a life just picking flowers. Oh, honey, you've been fooled and told untruths.
Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page or BBM 987 FM. Looking at news headlines for today in Indigenous space, First Nations space, Indigenous academic to take legal action over Pete and Dutton's Instagram. A prominent Indigenous academic called out a post on Peter Dutton's Instagram when she said no campaigners were using fear over fact. Leading Indigenous academic Marcia Langton has called out Peter Dutton for posting an Instagram picture suggesting she had no personality labelled no voters as stupid and racist. Reports emerged that Professor Langton had told a forum on Sunday that every time the No campaign raised their arguments, if you start pulling it apart, you get down to the base racism. I'm sorry to say that's where it lands, or sheer stupidity. The comments led media outlets to air claims she had installed called "No Voters, Stupid and Racist." Speaking on Wednesday, Professor Langton said she had been lied about and called out Liberal leader Peter Dutton for jumping on the bandwagon. I've noticed that Peter Dutton still has a tile up on his Instagram with that headline and a photograph of me and a big arrow pointing to me, she told ABC. Today I will have to go to a lawyer to write to Peter Dutton requesting that he remove this post from his Instagram because it's absolutely not true. So that's where that sits. It says here, when I talk to people, many of them say to me they are revolted by the racism that they've seen towards Indigenous people in the media and in other instances, she says. We have to be vigilant and explain to people exactly what the referendum is proposing because people are confused and they now don't know what they are voting for. Following the backlash, Nationals and Senator Matt Canavan lashed out at the academic and accused her of a petty name-calling, saying Australians were sick and tired of being called racist. It's been happening quite a bit during this debate, he told Nine. Whatever Marcy has a particular explanations here, I don't think we need to resort to this kind of language. Let's just attack the arguments. I mean, I just haven't seen Marcy come out and say exactly what are you talking about, what are your issues, rather than using labels and deny somebody. So there it is. Maybe you want to yarn on that. Add to that conversation. National Tall Black 1 hour program, and it is 11:23 Queensland time. So about 37 minutes. Add to the conversation. Too deadly.
Hey, what you doing, your mom? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I knew that we had problems, but I just don't understand all the things I've tried to do for you. Have I done it all in vain? If you're afraid of what you're doing, turn around and call my name. I'm praying you will someday come to where I'll be. You say that I'm a drinker and I'll never understand. Don't walk away, I'm trying to change the person who I am. I don't want to feel the emptiness when you walk out of my life. Remember when I said to you, I do my money why? Remember when I said to you, I do my money why? Problems,
but I just don't understand all the things I've tried to do for you. Have I done it all in vain? I pray you will someday come to where I'll be. Then we can pick up all the pieces, put it how it's supposed to be. Remember when I said to you, I do my Murray wine.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, so in the world that we live in, youth crime has increased. It's a very, very awful space. Look, in the space and background to the task force, I'm talking about the head of Queensland Youth Crime Task Force. I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Acting Assistant Commissioner George Marchesini, head of Queensland Youth Crime Task Force, and on the line, Acting Assistant Commissioner George. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. I'm great, and great to be on your program this morning.
And thank you very much for coming to the program. So, look, a very important discussion. Youth crime has become a pandemic, you could say. We're talking about COVID-19 that passed, but here we have youth crime. So you must be under the pump in regarding your position. Can you give us a bit of background regarding the task force, head of Queensland Youth Crime Task Force, please?
Yeah, look, thanks for that. Look, I think to break it down and keep it fairly simple for me, it's working through people. Like, my appointment to this role was all about working through other government agencies, heading up that role, but looking at what they're doing on the ground. So really it's that services that are being delivered on the ground. Mm. And it's not just about our offenders that we see committing crimes. So quite often, you know, it's seen that we're just focusing on our serious repeat offenders. In fact, a lot of the work and investment we know has to be in early intervention. Mm. So a lot of our work is spread out in terms of concentration and early intervention, breaking the cycle of offending.
Sure.
And then obviously there is a part of that that is around holding offenders to account that commit some serious crime in community.
Well, we're talking about youth here, and the old phrase, it takes a community to raise a child. So we've got to have all stakeholders at the table, and we need to get it together, I would say, George.
Look, most definitely. Look, my key role, it's not just sitting here in Brisbane. You know, I spend most of my time, actually, each week I'm around the state. Mm. The last few weeks, I've travelled up to Cairns, actually last week, where we had the First Nations summit there with our police commissioner, with the mayors from, you know, the communities from around Queensland. I was also in Warrabinda the week before in central Queensland.
Yes.
So it's talking with people on the ground and really getting a feel for what some of those issues are and what services are there, what's working, but more importantly, what's not working and how we can better focus our energies in that.
Well, exactly. And all the crime that's going on, now it's not all by First Nation youth, but a lot of First Nation youth are at the table. We as elders and First Nation people, we are fed up with it as well. And we talk about loss of culture, loss of identity and connection. So it's good to have, well, it's very important to have everybody at the table in regard to the problem we all face as Queenslanders.
Look, that's right. And look, that's why, again, it's really important that a lot of our work is working with community at that local level. And I can give you, you know, a few examples of
Please.
That on some of the stuff that we're doing it. that we're doing. So this work is about enabling and ensuring that, you know, we are hearing the voices at local community. Mm. In a lot of the First Nations that you talk to, you're 100% right. It's not just First Nations children, but we also need to understand, you know, what some of the issues are, particularly, you know, with families.
Sure.
What's happening in local community, and then obviously with youth themselves. You know, up in Cairns, for example, during NAIDOC week, I had the privilege of talking to some people from Deadly Inspiring Youth Doing Good.
Yes.
I think it's Dijon. Look, the work that they do is tremendous, and I don't think it's acknowledged enough, or it's you know, certainly in my role where I can promote that and be an enabler for people to understand this sort of good work, you know, going on. I think it's really important.
Yeah, for sure. Detentions, that has come across the table regarding building more, I think, two here in Cairns, for example, was a bit of an uproar with some of the constituents in this area. Where were we at with that, would you know, George?
Yeah, look, and obviously youth justice are very much at the heart of that, but what I will say is ultimately what we need to be focused... Look, we know that detention's not the answer. Can
sure,
I make that statement really clear?
Okay.
You know, at the end of the day... even with those detention centres that are being built, I believe one in down closer to Brisbane and one up in the north, that is, my understanding, is a smaller centre. I don't even really like feel comfortable calling them detention centres because ideally what they are meant to be doing is delivering programs for youth coming in there. And a very much my understanding is a different model in terms of ensuring it is a therapeutic, you know, response that is looking at very much victim-centric.
Yep.
And it's trauma-informed because we know a lot of these kids, as you know, and that's regardless of what background are coming from families that, you know, they've done it pretty hard.
Well, exactly. And we're talking about sick people, and sick people need help. And sober detention, as you mentioned, and thank you for stating that fact, it's not the answer. So we just need to have other phrases. It costs about $100,000 for have one person in prison. So a year, so that $100,000 could go towards that individual and helping them get on track and getting a strong foundation for their life, for their future.
Well, very much so. And we know a lot of the, you know, once again, me talking to various people on the ground, we know programs where there's lots of interaction with children, where there's that mentor for that person, you know, when we can bring them back into family, you know, with First Nations, obviously, as we know, bringing them back to culture, like a lot of our programs we see with On Country, a lot of our programs that we're seeing that, you know, delivering that mentorship, we know is very important. I know in some of the communities I've been to, certainly talking with some of the elders in that community, that value that they place when they're doing those sorts of programs, we've seen the changes. We've seen that
exactly.
You know, they're the things we've got to concentrate and invest in.
Sure, fantastic. So when you talk about the Queensland Youth Crime Task Force, of course, that'll be across the state. So how many involved, how many officers involved in this space? And tell us your mechanics of the vehicle that you're driving, so to speak.
Yeah, so as I said to you, it's not so much police officers.
Okay.
The work that I'm involved in is working with government agencies, so at a very senior level.
Okay.
When I say senior level, that is to actually break down silos. Like what are the challenges? What are the blockages that we're seeing? So agencies like youth justice, child safety, health and education, which we know is critical as well, particularly early health assessments, which we know we can do better. Education in terms of keeping kids you know, integrated with schools, whether that be a traditional or, you know, an alternate schooling program. But once again, we need to look at, you know, how do we deliver different sorts of education programs for different kids that come from different backgrounds. First Nations partners as well are at the table. So a whole range of government agencies. Now, through that, it's about then how do we actually find out what's going on at local level. Just recently, in the last 2 months, I was actually up in Cairns, and this is another visit I had, and I brought all those members up in Cairns, and we're out on the street running activities in terms of getting a better understanding of what the connectivity of services are on the ground and what improvements we can do. So that's really the heart of when we talk about a task force. It conjures up, you know, like all these police, but it really is working across government. That's my role, chairing that committee.
Well, I love the description of that, and everybody at the table, all stakeholders, So not coming from a police avenue. It's a wider platform for all community to be at table, and I think that's the answer. So we're all singing the same song and all in the same vehicle, heading the same direction, I would say, George.
You look exactly right. It's definitely not a police approach. It's taking, it's looking at all lenses around that and bringing everyone together. My role is a leadership role. You know, like I actually, in many ways, I take my police hat off.
Yes.
It's the leadership role that I have, but influencing those people and then where are those blockages? And accountability keeps coming up. Can I just say, everywhere we go, it's around how do we hold not just the agencies, but also local service providers to account? And I think that's critical. And that's part of the work that we're trying to do. So if we don't, if I'm not on the ground talking to local mayors, if I'm not on the ground talking to education providers and a whole range of activities, even as I said before with Dij and talking to, you know, a lot of their not-for-profits, I'm not doing my job because they've got voices and they tell us some amazing things that they're doing.
Well, exactly, and they're connected to community, so you hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, George. So
exactly.
Fantastic, and the old phrase, well done is better than well said. We need action, and it's great to have this conversation, my friend. And especially well, next time you're in Cairns, please drop and see us at Bummer Bipra.
Would love to do that. Thank you.
And all the best to you, George. Thank you very much. Take care. Keep warm. We'll yarn soon.
Definitely do that. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. That's the Acting Assistant Commissioner, George Mashishini, Head of Queensland Youth Crime Task Force. And he did point out it's not all run by the police police force, as in the Queensland Police. It's across the table platform, and he just heads that up, Queensland Youth Crime Task Force, with all people in the communities at the table, whether it be profit organisations or non-profit organisations. But in regard, and he did state the fact that detention centres are not the answer, so that's good to hear. So there it is. Have your say, Jan Armstrong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Light shines down on sacred ground. Tribal men are gathering round that firelight to dance in the moonlight. Singing and dancing, clapping sticks and boomerangs to the didgeridoo sound. Stomping their feet on stomping ground. Corroboree dance through the night. Corroboree dance in the moonlight, corroboree dance around the firelight, corroboree dance in the moonlight, corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance right through the night.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
open Detroit City, and I dreamed about the cotton fields and Nome. I dreamed about my mother, their old papa, sister and brother. I dreamed about the girl who've been waiting for so long. I wanna go home, I wanna go home. Oh Lord, I wanna go home. The young folks think I'm big in Detroit City, from the letters that I write they think I'm just fine. By day I made the car, by night I made the bar. If only they could read between the lines. 'Cause you know I rode a freight train north to Detroit City, and after all these years I guess why I've been wasting my time. Well, I think I'll just take my foolish pride, put on the southbound freight and ride, going home to the loved ones, the one I have left so far behind. I wanna go home, I wanna go home.
Yeah, to Dilly, that's Detroit City, Tonky Logan here on your Dilly program, National Talk Black. Hope you're having a great day, your mob. You can have your say by calling us on that Dilly number, 1-800-422-416. And National Talk Black, 1 hour program, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. That's BB and Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. National News Radio Service, Yarn Up Strong. Looking at the other news for First Nation people as Australia braces for bushfire season, Indigenous culture burning makes a comeback. Smoke sweeps through the treetops as a fire consumes the dense undergrowth of the Australian winter bush. To the uninitiated, the fire might appear to be dangerous, but it's a controlled cool burn or cultural fire, riding the land of dangerous underbush and using indigenous techniques passing down over thousands of years. The technique taught by Jungun Alliance, Aboriginal Corporation. Jungun is a more discriminative method than standard hazard reduction burning used by rural fire services. It has been experiencing a revival in recent years, and its use this year comes as meteorologists warn of scorching summer that could lead to devastating fires. Australians scarred by the catastrophic 2019-2020 black summer of bushfires that destroyed an area the size of Turkey are also mindful of the recent soaring summer temperatures in Europe and Canada that led to blazing wildfires. And cultural burning involves burning smaller areas of vegetation, allowing animals and birds to move away from the heat. Burning also occurs at cooler times, such as the evening, and care is taken to protect trees, and particularly very old scar trees that have stood for hundreds of years and which has been used by Aboriginal people for cultural purposes. Aboriginal people consider the canopy, the top of the tree, scarred, so we don't want any fire in the top of the canopy, because what that does, it takes all the potential old trees, lets the light in, and we get this really bad regrowth. So we're trying to break that cycle, said Richard Giddard's jungle program manager. So that's the news there. And while reading that news, I was thinking of brother man, Victor Stephenson. Big shout out, Victor. He's a Fire Stick man, Fire Stick Alliance, and the co-founder of that fantastic alliance. And he joined me in Fiji last week. He was a keynote speaker, and he spoke how fire is a powerful tool regarding looking after country. And no matter where we are on planet Earth, we need to look after country, and fire is the tool. And look, he's got some books as well, so do Google Victor Stephenson, have a look at some of his books, and look, get educated. And it's about the governments of the world to listen to First Nation people who've been on planet Earth 60,000 years. I think they would know a few things. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Grandmother sings sweet tune. Piano, accordion, guitars in tune. Sounds of someone playing spoon. Oh, I go back, yeah, I go back. Oh, I go back, yeah, I go back. In time, in time, in time.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Today, your mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BB and Bummer Brief Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the news, National News Radio Service. All right, other news here coming from The Australian. This is a horror movie for the government. Legal warming over Labor's misinformation bill. Shadow Communications Minister David Coleman says it's just another day, another disaster for the Albanese government over its misinformation bill. Mr. Coleman's remarks come as a constitutional expert and lawyer, Ann Toomey, is warning Labor's proposed misinformation bill is risking the very freedom it seeks to protect. Ms. Toomey warns the draft bill is virtually impossible to properly implement and will seriously risk undermining free speech in Australia, calling it a fiasco. This is a horror movie for the government, and barely a day passes without something smashing it. It's told Sky News host Shari Markson, this bill should be torn up into little pieces, thrown in the bin. It should have never been introduced by the Albanese government and is a disaster for them. And that's a statement there from... that's Sister there regarding the news there and the fiasco, so to speak. The other thing is keep in mind our world stories, a disaster beyond comprehension, 10,000 missing after Libya floods, and neighbourhoods washed away in port city of Derna, where two dams burst with many bodies swept out to sea. And the situation in Derna, the Libyan port city, where two dams burst over the weekend, has been described as disaster beyond comprehension. As the Red Cross and local officials said, at least 10,000 people were missing after the devastating floods. The confirmed dead toll exceeded 5,300. Mohammed Abdelusha, a spokesperson for the administration that controls the east of Libya, told a state-run news agency late on Tuesday. Tarquin Alakarez, another representative of the eastern government, said that the entire neighbourhood has been washed away with many bodies swept out to sea. Hundreds of bodies were piled up in cemeteries and a few survivors able to identify them, according to Cajares, who said he expected the death toll to rise about 10,000 people, a figure also quoted by the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. And look, thoughts and prayers are going out to mob out there, to people who've lost loved ones. And that's where we all come together, don't we? Don't care what colour we are, we come together in that situation. So with that, look, Trendy Trev going to sign off for today's program, you mob. I thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with National Talk Black, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, Queensland time. Join us then. And that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Text 24/7. 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And I've got news coming up very soon with NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.